to every trial. And yet by our own testimony this morning, we're saying that's not true. But we believe it. So what I have to say this morning, Lord, has meaning for that. And I can't do it, Lord. The Holy Spirit of God is going to have to give understanding, because it's not commonly taught, as far as I know. But I'll do the best I can. So help me, Lord, and give us understanding in Jesus' name. I want to... Paul, Philippians 3:11, said this most unusual thing. And before that, he said a bunch of stuff. And then he said, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. I have never heard anyone preach on that. Maybe many have and have done a better job than I ever will. But it's the word of the hour. Because until we attain to that resurrection, which is Paul. See, we're so used to heaven being the goal. It is very difficult for us to change our goal to something different. And it may take us months, a year, before we really make the transition from heaven to the resurrection. We are not resurrected to go to heaven. We are resurrected so that we can make a success of living on the earth. We are not resurrected to go to heaven. Resurrection has nothing to do with going to heaven. If it did, Paul would say something about it. We are resurrected so that we can live on the earth. Well, you may say, we don't need to be resurrected to live on the earth. How many know some of the grievous things that are happening to people today in the world? It's nothing to read 17 people were killed in Iraq or in Africa, South Africa, or like this, two young people, a young man, a young woman getting out and beating up his grandmother because a defenseless lady, and they're going to be arrested because she was over 65. You see, and there's a state law there where this happened. Anybody, you beat up somebody over 65, you get arrested for beating up an elder. I mean, this is unheard of. This is unheard of. And people, it's going to get much worse. I'm older than most of you, and I can see what's shaping up in America. 5 years from now, you won't recognize this country. Just like 5 years ago, you would not have believed that teachers would give kindergarten and first grade children the question, would you like to be a boy or a girl? And what to do about it? And to all use the same restroom. So we're not discriminating. 5 years ago, that would be unheard of. Can you imagine what it will be like 5 years from now? It will be unlivable for Christians. And like the Romans who went underground to live. We're not used to that, people. We're not tough. We're soft. And I'm not asking you to be tough. I'm asking you to listen to me now. I want to talk to you about Romans 8:11. Because that, though you may not have recognized it in time past, is the resurrection. Romans 8:11 is the resurrection. That's what it is. And we see, we associate it with flying up somewhere. Because it says the dead in Christ shall rise. So we think that must mean they rise. No, they rise from the dead. Christ rose from the dead on the third day. He didn't ascend till 40 days later. So resurrection has nothing to do with going to heaven, whatever. We were not created in heaven. We were created on the earth, and the earth is our home. But we cannot occupy it in the joy that God wants until we're resurrected. Notice it now. Say it with me. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. That is the resurrection. It is the giving of life to our body. And see, if you were experiencing that now, you would be indestructible. You could go out into the highways and byways and command people to stop aborting their children and summon the angels if they disobeyed you. In other words, you could set the world straight if you were resurrected, if you had the resurrection. See, it doesn't say attain the resurrection. It says attain to the resurrection. When that preposition is in there, it means that it's talking about a resurrection that's already been accomplished. So we don't enter into our own resurrection. We enter into the resurrection of Christ. We attain to a resurrection that is already in existence. Okay? It is all powerful. And, of course, we have the doctrine of the rapture, which is a complete fallacy, in which most Christians who have accepted Christ will fly up to heaven when He comes. You want to see what it's like when He comes? It's in Matthew 24. It has nothing to do with the majority. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be who find it. Now, after this morning, you want to ask yourself, am I seeking the resurrection? If not, you may not be one of the few. The few are not those who accepted Christ. The few are those who follow the three steps that I want to give you this morning. First of all, is separation from the world. And if I could find it, and if Lloyd could find it, he would put it up. We've got a system here, but I'll tell you, it takes time. I'm sorry. I can't find anything when you're all staring at me. But somewhere in here, I tell you what, can you search Eve? Lot. If you can search Lot, we'd have it made. Well, anyway, I can tell you briefly, because I've been through this so many times. The first step, now listen to me, because we are all guilty of this, all of us. The first step is separation from the world culture. And when Jesus was talking about it, you know what He said? The thing to watch out for? Marrying and giving in marriage. You know why? Thank you, Lloyd. First, loving not the world. He didn't mean that there's anything wrong with marriage. He's talking about business as usual. And he said, remember Lot's wife. Did you ever think about Lot's wife? The terrible thing she did? She loved her neighbors. And so as the angel was dragging them out, and I mean dragging, they didn't want to leave, out of Sodom, the angel said, do not look back. Well, in America, Christians, we are so accustomed to saying, yes, but. Yes, but. I know I shouldn't look back, but. We have no idea of the severity of God. That's why when Stan says the kind of things he's saying, we figure, yeah, but it's gonna be bad. and for doing nothing except looking back to see what would happen to her friends and neighbors, she became, if you could believe it, a pillar of salt. The commentators believe that there was an eruption, you know, throwing out sulfur and all the rest of the mountains erupted, and some of it came down on top of her. In the area where that is, which I think is in Iraq, but I'm not positive, it's either Iraq or Iran, there are many pillars of salt. And I think they have one that they figure was Lot's wife, a beautiful woman, and here and caring for her neighborhood. That was her sin. No, her sin was disobedience. The angel said, don't look back. Three words. And that beautiful woman was turned into an indistinguishable pillar of salt that came out from a volcano, and many such in that area to this day. Now we need to think about that, because we're used to God being soft and loving, not turning a nice lady into a pillar of volcanic salt. Am I getting through?
Yes.
Yeah. Because this is something you're going to have to do and I'm going to have to do, because God wants to use this church. And somewhere there has to be people who will separate themselves. Now, I do not mean to go out and wear a sandwich board or do some unusual thing that embarrasses your kids and all your relatives. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the fact that between the television and the internet, we are thoroughly, and the tablets, we are thoroughly immersed in worldly values. Now, I know there's a time for television. When I was resting up after breaking my first femur, and in a rest home, on Saturday morning, people would come out of their rooms in droves in their wheelchairs and all assemble in this big room and watch cartoons. Well, you'd say, isn't that awful? No, I don't think Jesus saw it as awful. If he had a wheelchair, he might have joined them. These people have nothing else. What are you going to say to them? Pray and read your Bible all day? These are people that can't get out of their bed except in a wheelchair. And so they're watching cartoons. So I'm not downing people for watching television. I'm not downing them for watching things on the internet or their tablets or whatever. You've got to get that clear or you'll just turn me off. I'm talking about immersion in the values. This Pokemonster, Mon stands for monster, is that you cannot help. It's chasing demons, and you cannot help but be affected. That isn't like these little old people gathering on Saturday morning for their one bright spot of the week. It's talking about people that have got the whole world to grow in and to make something of themselves, and particularly to help others, spending their time looking at an iPad. You're gonna be part of the world, and you're not working toward the resurrection of your inner nature. You can't get a resurrection of your outer nature, Romans 8:11, until your inner nature is resurrected. Do you see that? You cannot take a worldly person studying games on a computer and put a resurrection body on them. Can you see that? Can you understand that? So the first step in attaining, that I may attain, and he put that as the supreme goal of his life in Philippians 3, and he said, let others be thus minded, if you be otherwise minded. Make sure that you're in the rest of God, Hebrews 4, that at any moment you can say, Jesus, what would you be doing? And you know, to act as Jesus acted, we think, looking back in history, hey, I got news for you. The man has been raised from the dead. And all, if you want to know if Jesus would do what you're doing, ask him. I ask the Lord several times a day, Lord, is this something you would be doing? He'll answer you. He's more interested in you than you are in him. Every moment of the day, be conscious of Jesus. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Dwells. That's talking about abiding in Christ. Then when destruction comes, 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. But not when you're playing games on an iPad. You'll go be swept up in destruction. Unless the Lord is telling you, yes, you've worked hard and this is a chance for you to relax. That's different. Because that was said at the foundation of the world for you. But God has a specific plan, a specific destiny for you. Don't miss it. That's what Hebrews 4:1 says. Don't miss it. Love not the world. Do not love the world or anything in the world. Woo! I'm talking about the first step toward the resurrection, toward Romans 8:11. If anyone love the world, the love for the Father is not in them. And then in John, if you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world. I'm talking about the church now, not about the Cenos, Christians in name only. I'm talking about the real stuff. This is why the world hates you. This is why the high-level jurists are saying, get them out of the legal profession. They're biased. Fearful thing. First step toward attaining to Romans 8:11. Does anyone have a question? Hey, I was glad to see you up there, Christian. You're really making giant steps. The second step we've talked a lot about in this church, turning away from the sins of the flesh. Where do I find them? Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, they're all listed for you. Scores of them. Rage, lust, jealousy, covetousness. They're all there. What do? You ask the Lord every day. You're looking to him. You're listening to him. And when he tells you this is not in the image of God, then you don't say everybody's doing it or we have to sin. You turn from it. You say, Jesus, help me. You confess it. Yes, that's me. I'm doing it. Help me to turn away. That's the second step to attaining to the resurrection. Any questions? I preached about that so much, you probably all know that by heart. Galatians 5:19 through 21. And then in Ephesians, it's chapter 5. And then in Colossians, it starts in chapter 3. The first thing in Colossians says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. When Christ is alive, shall appear, you shall appear with him. That's verse 4 of Colossians 3. And then in verse 5, it starts in about the sins of the flesh. They're there in abundance. No question on steps 1 and 2? Someone tell me what step 1 is.
Separation from the world.
What?
Separating yourself from the world.
Right. And again, I'm not saying you do something weird and unusual that embarrasses all your friends. It's you don't get immersed in tablets or the television or something. That's not your life. But as I say, there are times, particularly for elderly people who are incapacitated, that's all they've got. is the television. Jesus isn't going to come down and say, honey, you can't watch that. You have to pray and read the Bible. That isn't going to happen. But for young people who have the world before them, can listen to the Lord and find out what he has for them, to sit there in front of a stupid whatever is going to prevent your being made alive. And this is what it is. This is what the keys of the kingdom that we're all clapping and everything, but we're not enjoying it because it only comes in the resurrection. When Romans 8:11 takes place, listen to me, you will have no more alimentary canal. Do you know what that is? That's a tube that runs from your mouth to the other end. That's the alimentary canal. It includes your intestines. You won't have any of them. You won't need them because you'll be living by what? By the Spirit of God. Is that not wonderful? Is that not wonderful to live by the Spirit of God? But if I hear the Lord correctly, we will have meals. Why? Because that's how we have fellowship. It is around the table. Wouldn't it be terrible to be in Beulah Land and not have a hot cup of coffee? Huh? Wouldn't it be terrible? But isn't it because you need it? You say, well, where does it all go? It evaporates. It goes. You don't have to worry about it. Your body will use everything you put into it because it's not a human body anymore. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Beulah Land. I am living on a mountain underneath a cloudless sky. I'm drinking from a fountain that never shall run dry. Oh, yes, I'm feeding from the manna, from a bountiful supply, for I am dwelling in Beulah Land. Yeah, Stan, there's one for us. But you see, God is bringing Beulah Land to the earth. You see in Revelation 22, his throne is on the earth. He's coming to the earth, people. The good news is not that the kingdom is going, it's that the kingdom is coming. And the first step is the resurrection, because before that you're an animal. You won't have to worry about the heat or the cold, because you're not being warmed by the burning of oxygen. You can go up and crawl around at the deepest level of the deepest lake in Antarctica and never feel the cold. And if that isn't wonderful, what is wonderful? So don't cling to sin. It will keep you. Then you have, see, the only ones that are coming up when Jesus comes is the first resurrection. That's Revelation chapter 20, verses 4, verses 5 and 6. They're kings. Everyone that goes to Jesus and is raised along with those who come with him are kings. They'll rule on the earth. They'll put an end to abortion and to gender confusion and to the worship of money and everything else we deplore. We can deplore it. We can get God's help in not being encumbered with it, but we don't like it. And this world is a dangerous, evil place, in case you haven't noticed. But if one of your kids is slaughtered by a drunken fiend, all of a sudden you say, hey, this world isn't the greatest. Well, God wants to make it the greatest. And when Jesus comes, he's not making a U-turn. He's coming down to govern the nations with his saints. Amen. And they're hearing me right now because they have got to learn to turn away from all their worldly desires. Those who are in glory, because they can't, without us, be made perfect. The big crowd of people that are coming with the Lord, and every one of them has attained to the resurrection. And you can too. But you're a minority, remember that. It'll only be a handful of people. How many Christians do you think are willing to enter the rest of God and set aside all their own aspirations and listen to God's will? How many Christians that you know will do that? Huh? They want to be kings. Oh, fine. They say, we'll rule and reign with Christ, which is a redundancy of speech. Huh? The third one is adopting an attitude of resurrection. And this is what Paul talked about in Philippians 3. It's an attitude. How about your altitude this morning? Huh? What's the second point?
Turning from the sins of the flesh.
Turning away from sin. What's the first one?
Separating yourself from
the world. Oh, you're good people. You all get A+. All right. Now, Paul had been caught up to paradise. See, heaven is in three levels. 30, 60, and 100. Paradise, God's throne, Christ, the place where you want to be and I want to be with the holy saints, is in the third heaven. And Paul was caught up there and heard words he was forbidden to repeat. Because of the surpassingly great revelations, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh. Oh, glory. That was his eyes. Something went wrong. He had an infection in his eyes. A messenger of Satan to torment me. The apostle, after all of his tribulations. Three times I have pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. Don't ever just pray once. Pray until you hear from God, yea or nay. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. That's a proper use of the term grace, not as an alternative to obeying God. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power, ooh, my power is made perfect in weakness. Hey, kids, you want to be weak? You want God's power? That isn't going to happen when you're living so wonderfully. Even that guy that said, I'm living on a mountain, I'm sure that was temporary. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses. How many here boast about their weaknesses? Not many. Therefore, I will, that Christ's power may rest on me. Hallelujah. I'm glad I don't have equilibrium, Lord. Praise the Lord. That's wonderful. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses and insults. Uh-oh. When a church person gets insulted, they know how to get even. Huh? They know how to get even. Somebody insulted me. Come on, kids. I'm talking about attaining to the attitude, this third step, a resurrection attitude. In hardships, in persecutions, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Let's continue on, Lloyd. But whatever we're gaining, whatever, oh, by the way, that's the heart of resurrection. That's the heart of it. When you can't do anything in yourself, and God has to do it. Then you made big steps toward resurrection. You say to the Lord, I just can't do this. I need your help. You're entering resurrection then. Well, when you're boasting about it, no. What are things were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What kind of an attitude is that? What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. But I know the Lord. Do we know the Lord? No, we don't. I know I don't. No worse near what I want. I have lost all things, and I feel terrible about it. What do you say?
They're garbage.
I count them garbage. Garbage! What did you lose recently? Garbage. He's talking about his status as a Pharisee. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. And that doesn't mean that I say, oh, I believe in Jesus. You know, people say, oh, I believe in Jesus, but I don't do his will because I'm saved by grace. So they believe in Jesus, but they don't obey him. Now make sense out of that. They believe in Jesus, but I don't obey him. Because I'm saved by grace. What do you think, Christian? Kind of dumb, isn't it? It's the funny farm is what it is. I want to know Christ to know the power of his resurrection. How long have you spent wanting to know the power of Christ's resurrection. Have you ever given it a thought? Well, it's time for us to change. God is talking to us this morning through the kids, you may have noticed. Abby, all crumpled up. She was in that corner, and I didn't even recognize her. I asked
Margaret.
That's a sign of age. I asked Margaret to check it out. I said, what's that little bundle in the corner? And then the second part we don't like, and participation in its sufferings. That doesn't mean we suffer all the time. Gloom, doom. But the Lord sometimes has to have us suffer to get our attention. He has to yank on our lead rope, people, to get our attention. And after we've suffered a little bit, we quit saying prayers and pray. After we've suffered a little bit, we quit saying prayers and pray. Yes, to know the power of His resurrection and participation. And we can't know that power until we can't do anything. Amen. Then He steps in and does something. I saw that recently, this last week. What was it? So an exhibition of His power. Becoming like Him in His death. Now that sounds so gloomy. It sounds so negative. No, that's where the glory is. There's no resurrection except from crucifixion. But it's the resurrection we need to concentrate on. How wonderful to be eternally alive and no sin in the flesh and all the people you can help and everything. Think about that when you're considering suffering. Don't say, oh, I won't feel good. Think of the people you can help. Think of setting this world in order so they don't teach kids whether they want to be boys or girls and all this other abomination or beat up old ladies that won't take them to where they can sin. You can't do anything now but bellyache about it. But if you were resurrected right now, you could change America because nobody could touch you. They'd send the FBI after you and laugh at them. Say to your chief angel, deal with that fellow. Huh? Don't you want to do something for your country? Well, be resurrected. And so somehow attaining to the resurrection, the big ones that happen on Calvary. Not that I already have attained all this, Paul says, or have already arrived at my goal. That's his goal. And when you walk out of this church, I want your goal to be resurrected. And take these three steps. I press on, Paul says, the old guy, to take hold, the old guy, he's 20 years younger than me, to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Isn't that lovely? Christ Jesus took hold of you for something. What is it? You don't know. You've got to listen. You've got to wait. You've got to ask the Lord, Christian. I say, what do you got for me? What have you taken hold of me for? What am I to do? You don't guess at it and say, oh, I think this is a good idea. You wait. Did you hear? And he'll talk. He's able to talk. How many believe Jesus is able to talk? Most everybody. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, see, adelphoi, in the Greek it just says brothers, so the King James says brothers. But the NIV figures he means brothers and sisters. And they do. They do. So I've adopted this. Because God's got a lot of girls that are pretty good Christians. Pretty good Christians. So why should they be denied anything? Because they're female. Huh? That's my attitude. I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. Why are you? God showed me, I think it was last Sunday in this church, the book on the wall there, the book of my life, previously. And it was locked. And then he blew on it, and it was all dust. And it went. All the painful memories, the stupid things I have done, hurting people, it's gone. Hallelujah. I saw it up there on the wall. All turned to dust. Forgetting. Are you still chewing on something that happened to you years ago? Are you still bound because of what you were at one time? Are you ready to listen to Jesus and when he tells you some fantastic thing? Go to Iraq and straighten that thing out. But Lord, what did Jeremiah say when God told him to tear down the nations? What did he say? Ah, Lord, I'm a child. That was Jeremiah's response. He is picturing himself going out to Egypt and Babylon and Greece. And I said, I can't do that. I'm a child. Well, that's to insult God. God, don't you know what you're doing? But if you read the last few chapters of Jeremiah, you'll see where God, through him, spoke to all the nations. This is going to happen to you. You see, when God tells you something, don't say, I can't do it. Say, thank you, Lord, because you don't know what he means by it. See, Jeremiah pictured himself going out with a sword. God meant for him to prophesy. You don't know what God means by the things he tells you. Let God be his own interpreter. Amen. And he will make it plain. He made it plain to Jerry. He'll make it plain to you. And notice this terrible note to end on. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward. Where's our resident Greek scholar? And look at that word, heavenward, and you'll find it's not there. The King James, this is Philippians 3:14. Philippians 3:14. Our Greek scholar. No, the King James has it right. It's the high calling, not heavenward. He's not calling us to heaven, but our calling comes from heaven. And our citizenship is in heaven, but our goal is the resurrection. Thank you for being so patient. Who knows the first step toward the resurrection? Yeah, watch. The new iPads and things, watch that, because that can take your mind completely away from Christ. What's the second step toward the resurrection?
Don't get away from sin.
Yeah, don't keep sinning because everybody's doing it. Turn from it. And because Romans 8:13 says, if you sin, you're going to die. And it's referring back to verses to the resurrection. It says, if you obey the lust of your flesh and the deeds of your flesh, you will not attain to the resurrection. Romans 8:11-13. Put it together. And what is the third step? Having a resurrection altitude. Attitude. Amen. Well, everybody got A+, and I'm sorry I didn't go too much over. I hope, Lord, I delivered my soul. I delivered what you have laid on me so heavily and that I got Lloyd all shook up about. God, help us to understand that our goal no longer is Beulah Land, but to live in Beulah Land in the earth where it is needed. Help us to be seekers after the resurrection, Lord. And I know you will answer our prayer in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. You're free now to kiss all the brethren and all the sistern and enjoy yourself. Enjoy yourself in the Lord.